couldn't be in ministry if you went to see a movie. It didn't matter if it was Alice in Wonderland. It was the fact that you went. But you know what? It's no different than watching television or being on the internet. It's not the place. It's the choices you make when you go there. And you make the right choices, you're allowed to have fun on this earth. It's been one of the biggest lies of the enemy that we have to be poor, sad, frustrated, and boring. You should be the most exciting people on this planet, and you should be having more fun than any of them. The main reason he has me share is so you know that heaven is holy, but it's fun, and we're going to have fun. But we're going to have fun down here before we ever get there. Holiness is coming back to the church, but along with that holiness will be the most freedom, joy, and liberty we have ever experienced. It will actually be one of the most exciting places to go to on this planet. And people will race to get in there because the presence of God will be so powerful, and there's joy in the presence of the Lord. And that's where the most joy will be in. You don't have to go to the bars to enjoy a drink from the Lord. You're going to get it right here. And I have been there myself in church. I did a lot of carpet time, and I wasn't cleaning it. There are places in heaven where you actually experience that. And I've never said this anywhere. There are pubs in heaven. And do you know what the sign says over top? People under best divine saturation. And that's exactly what you get. And I saw people staggering out of them, holding each other up. And I am in complete, I get shocked every time I go there. I'm thinking, there goes that religious spirit. There goes that religious spirit. And I knew that when I started sharing, people were either going to tar and feather me or be very happy. Well, they wouldn't get away with tar and feathering me. I'm afraid that my angels would do something about that. Because you know why? They go there too. They do. They go into the pubs. And I told that to somebody and they said, I know my dad's there. Because he got saved from alcoholism. And he went and found a better thing. And I've told that to some people I know stay in that way all the time. And they said, honey, I have a stool with my name on it. So there are places in heaven where you actually can go get super saturated and come out staggering. And they will have to carry you to your mansion. At least if you fell in the ditch, you wouldn't get run over. Isn't God funny? When people hear them talk about heaven, they get a lot of stuff they don't expect. But most of them are actually delighted. Sometimes they have shock on their face, and then they realize, this is going to be so much fun. And it is. It's awesome. Because the Father loves us. And let me tell you, he is going to spoil his daughters. And he wants you to be spoiled right down here on earth. I'm going to let somebody ask a question right now. Does anyone have something specific they want to ask about heaven? Got to say it really loud, or there's a microphone. This is fun. People love this, and I'd love to answer if I can. Is it on? If you can't get it on, you can come up here and ask. See, some people want to ask and they wait for everyone else to do it, but they're certainly listening when they hear the answer. And then they get encouraged, and by the time we're done, everybody wants to ask something. They're going to fix it for us. Here comes a man. There are Mr. Fix-It. And by the way, do not tell your husband something that they cannot fix. You will frustrate them. Woo! There's the glory.
Testing.
Woo! Thank you.
It's been a year ago, and it was an experience that I know it was Jesus, but the thing is, I've been asking a lot of people to give me revelation about it. It was one night I had an encounter, and Jesus was in my room. And the thing is, his head, it was illuminating. The shirt that he had on was so bright, it was real white. And it was something written across his chest in red but like you were saying, sometimes you need to ask so they can say what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. I was asking Jesus, I was like, what is this on your shirt? What does that say? But he never said anything. Mm-hmm. The thing is, when he came into my presence, I heard the door, my front door open. Mm-hmm. I went into the hallway of my bedroom, and there he was standing. The whole hallway was lit up. So I ascended with him. And when I got there, it was like he was rubbing my arms. But it didn't feel really good. It felt like it was abrasive, like it was some type of cleaning. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to know, because I've been asking people. I really don't know what was happening then. And then another one occurred the next month, mm-hmm, where I was lifted up. But I could feel, I seen myself ascending back. Descending. Mm-hmm. And when I got into my bedroom, I could feel the hands on my waist, mm-hmm, and it laid me back into my bed, and it frightened me, mm-hmm, so bad that I was really afraid. Mm-hmm. And after I realized that God was in the place, I got on my knees and on my face, but I'm asking him for answers because I really don't know if there's something he wants me to do or what it is.
And sometimes you're just going to have to press in to get that answer. But if you felt an abrasive, mm-hmm, on your arms, yes, it means he's going to clean you up.
Praise God. Thank you.
And it doesn't mean necessarily that you have sin in your life. It means he's preparing you for something,
amen,
amazing.
Thank you.
Because he's really doing that with a lot of people. Some have divine encounters. Some he's just doing it in the natural. Mm-hmm. But that's just a sign to you that he knows where you are, what you're going through. He's probably about ready to change your situation.
Amen.
So he's going to prepare yourself, your spirit, and your life, prepare you for what he's got for you. Because anytime I hear the word an abrasive or something like a cleansing, that's what that means.
Amen.
So just press into him.
Yes.
Let him know that you're ready to do what he wants you to do. Spend time in the word. That's very important. You know, and just trust him that he's in control of your life. If you belong to him and you're living a holy life, he's going to make sure that you accomplish what he called you,
yes,
to do. And you should be blessed because a lot of people don't have divine encounters.
Amen.
But you were never harmed in any time during that time. And lots of times he's just letting you know, I've got something for you. I know where you are.
Amen.
So I'm sure that means that he's getting your life ready, getting it in order. And a lot of times you just make sure your home is in order, your priorities,
yes,
in order. And then you just keep seeking him and he'll reveal to you what he wants to do.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll take a couple more questions, and then I'm going to keep talking.
I just wanted to ask, how does God feel about especially these children? Because my whole life is just saturated in doing that, and sometimes I feel so bad because I can't serve in the church, because, mm-hmm, that's all I do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, take care of special needs kids, mm-hmm, you know, children that nobody else wants. And I have them in my home, I have them in my business, mm-hmm, and I don't get time to, you know, do in the church what I would like to do, and I get frustrated about that because I just don't have time to do it.
Well, let me know, you're doing the kingdom of God. You're already doing church in your home. You mean you want time to come to church, or you feel like you're not being able to do something in the church? Okay, you are doing something in the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And it's not about a church or a place. The kingdom of God is all of us together doing what he called us to do. And you obviously are doing one of the most honorable things anybody can do. And that's helping those that cannot help themselves. So I can tell you, you bless the Father with what you're doing. You really do. He loves it when people will love others, especially when they're not even of your own family. You're reaching out. You're being Jesus for others. So don't ever think you're not doing something. You're doing things a lot of other people should be doing. And you're doing it in a big way. You're laying down your own life. You're blessing the Father with your life. You're pouring it out for others. Let me tell you, you'll be highly honored in heaven for what you're doing. So don't think that you're not doing something. You're doing one of the best things. Because he says to remember the widows and the orphans and to help those that need help, to seek those who are in prison. And I know prison, people think of prison as a place that they put people in, but a lot of people themselves are in prison. And when you have a handicapped body, that's just like being in prison because you can't do the things that you would normally do. You're incarcerated within your own being. So you're actually doing more than just helping the orphans. You're actually visiting those who are imprisoned, even though it's in their own body. So we're going to declare, everybody, hold your hand out towards her. Father, we declare healing in the name of the Lord to go to her home and her business. We declare healing into the bodies of those special needs children in Jesus' name. We declare those bodies will line up with the way he designed them to operate from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We loose the healing power of Jesus Christ into their lives. I thank you, Father, for resurrection power to come to those bodies, those minds, those limbs, those organs in Jesus' name. We speak life of God into them. We expect miracles to happen in her life for those children in Jesus' name. And we declare the blessings of the Lord to be upon her household. In Jesus' name, everyone declare amen. I have to take one more question over here, maybe somewhere.
Where are you? Raise your hand high. Amen.
Just pick somebody. I'll let you do it. If we have time, we'll do this one more time.
It's Hi. A pleasure to meet you. I know you can see angels. I would like to know if you can tell me if you see anything around me or if I have a call in my life.
If you what?
A call in my life. If you have a message from the Holy Ghost or Jesus.
Well, right now I'm not going to be prophesying right now in this part of the meeting. I might do some of that at the end. But yes, I see everyone's angel here. I don't talk a lot about it because you would get totally distracted trying to see them yourself. And then you'd be asking me what they looked like and what their names were, and we're not going to go there. They're all very different. Angels are not robots. They're all very different. They have different personalities, and God picked just the right one for you. And his job is to protect you, to keep you from attacks of the enemy, to try to lead you along the path with the help of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they'll say things or whisper things to you. You don't know it's them. The Holy Spirit does send messages through angels. And many times you can't see them. But when you get to heaven one day, you get to go into this place and see your life lived over. And you will know exactly what went on in the spirit realm around your life every moment of your life. You will see every time your angel intervened, every time God intervened, every time he kept you from sickness, from accidents, from dying. You're going to know the price that they paid to be with you. So you didn't miss anything. You're going to get to see all of it. Isn't that awesome of God to do that for us? And when you get there, yes, your angel will be there, and you will actually get to talk to them. And they'll talk to you about your life. They'll tell you how much it meant to them, how honored they were to serve you, to be assigned to you. Because let me tell you, they love you. And they take their assignments seriously. And even though things happen to us sometimes, you have no imagination how many times they stopped it. But you will be allowed to know that one day when you get to heaven. Is there someone else?
I'm sorry, just one simple question. How often do you go to heaven and that's another question I had. And when you go, do you go, how long do you go for?
Well, that was part of what I would have told you earlier, but I know we're pressed for time, so I'm trying to get some other stuff out to you. I don't keep track of how many times I go. I go several times a week, sometimes several times a day. Yes? I did. Y'all are asking more than one question. You're asking more than one question. He's been taking me sometimes. He'll take me several times until I really get information about the place he wants me to talk about. He's been taking me to the throne room and showing me where the river of life comes from, how it's created out of his being, what it does in heaven, and what it does on earth. The river of life literally flows out of you. Out of your belly shall flow what? And if you turn the living water around, what does it say? River of life. That thing flowing out of your belly, the rivers of living water, is the river of life that comes from the Father God. That's why it's so important for you to say the right things and live the right way. Because when you do, you literally bring life of God into the atmosphere of your home, the people that you are around. And that's one of the things that he's been sharing with me when I go there. Why part of the rainbow is sapphire blue? Well, how it turns the throne into just blue sapphire. A lot of people think the entire throne is blue. Part of it looks like it's blue, but it's actually white. But it's because of that aura, that life that flows out of the Father, that emanates from him. And the very ends of that rainbow, I say about 4 feet of it, is the most beautiful sapphire blue you've ever seen. And the rainbow, which is usually a question people ask me, is that rainbow around, like this, around him? Or is it an arch like this? It encircles his entire being from the very ceiling of the throne room, which you can't see, by the way. It's so huge. I've never seen the ceiling. It's that big. But that bow that comes from him goes from his being all the way up and all the way around to the bottom of the throne. The throne is high and lifted up. There's many steps going up. And there's steps going behind the throne that you can go up either way. I know someone that was caught up to heaven, and they walked him up the back steps of the throne till they were standing behind the Father God. That man has never been the same again. He's only been once. It only takes once to change your life. He can't hardly talk about it without weeping. When I first used to go and try to share about it, I would just shake trying to talk about it. But I have become accustomed to carrying the glory. It's supposed to be a part of your everyday life. I lost count a long time ago. I stopped counting a long time ago how many times he took me, because that doesn't matter. And as far as being gone from this earth, it's seconds. But I could be there a very long time. They'll take me several places and show me several places, and it'll be seconds from the time I can be in the grocery store pushing my cart, reaching over to take something off the shelf, and he'll take me. And just count to three. 1, 2, 3. I put it back in my car. I've been in heaven for like hours. There is no time or space in eternity. No time or space whatsoever. He created it like that. That's why things can happen. That's why he knows years ahead in your life, every single thing that will happen in your life, because he wrote it all in a book. He knew every day of your life before you were born. And I'm going to tell you where you came from. Some people know. Who has ever heard me talk about where you came from in heaven? Cynthia, Pastor Cynthia. A couple people. Okay, then this is new. The word says in Psalms that he knew us before we were born. He knew us before we began to breathe. Well, you don't have to breathe to live in heaven. You have to breathe to live down here. So if he knew you and saw you before you began to breathe, that means you were with him before you came here. When you're in the throne room and you walk up to the Father, you can go anytime you want to. You can't see his literal face, because of the glory that comes from it. You can see his eyes filled with passion for you. You can see all of him from here down. He has hands. He'll hold you. He'll let you sit with him. He gets up. He does move around. Some people don't know that, but yes, he does get up and move around. He does go places in heaven sometimes. But when he's on the throne and you get up really close, you see little spirits coming in and out of the Father. It's like when he breathes, they go in and out, in and out. And all these little spirits are saying the same thing. Send me. Send me. I want to go down there. I want to serve you. I want to love you. Every single one of you were there at one time. That's where life comes from the Father. He created life. When he formed Adam, what did he do? Breathed that life into him. Adam was one of those little spirits. So the Father took him and breathed him into that body. So that spirit was with God. They don't look like, they don't have human appearances. They don't have arms and legs, really. They're just little spirit beings in and out of the Father. All saying that. And he sends us down here into a body at the time of conception. You are a living human being. Not when you're born. At the very moment of conception, he takes one of the spirits from him and sends it down here. That isn't part of the man or the woman. That's a supernatural part that comes from God. That eternal part of your being, that spirit being, is sent from the Father. And from that moment, when that life begins, there is a living, breathing human being with a spirit being inside of them. And when that body passes away, that spirit being he planted in you, if you belong to him, goes back to him. He couldn't say he was your father. You're not the father of somebody unless you helped to make that child, are you? So he can't say he's your father if you didn't originally come from him. So we all came from the Father. At one time we were with him, but we don't remember that. So he sends us all down here. We get to choose who we want to serve. And the reason you were created is not a mystery. There's no mystery to life. He wanted a family. That's why the word says in Genesis 1:26 that we were made in his image and he gave us dominion over this earth. Adam gave it back, gave it to the enemy, and the Lord won it back. So we are not beaten up old sinners. Don't ever say that you are an unworthy sinner. You are not. You have been purified by the blood of the Lamb, have the same inheritance that Jesus Christ does, a part of the Father's family, born to rule and reign on this earth now. He gave you power over all the power of the enemy. He gave you dominion over all the earth. That means the weather. That means the animals. That means your situations, your circumstances, what the enemy thinks he wants to do in your life. You have power and authority. He gave it to you. He created this earth for us to have dominion on. And you know what? The end will not come until we're doing that. It won't. All things have to be restored, and then the end will come. So you know what? When the rapture happens, it's not a rescue party. He's not coming to rescue his people because they're sick, broke, poor, and scared. He's going to come because they won't be able to bear to be without their body, glorious, spotless, without wrinkle, operating in the authority that they gave us to have on this earth. And when we're all doing that in unison, they won't be able to bear to be without us like Enoch. He will take us to be with him. So the rapture isn't a rescue party. It is a celebration of us walking in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's where you're headed. Your generation, your life, this time on the earth, he chose for that to happen. That's why people in heaven are watching. They're excited to know that you all will carry out stuff that they started. You get to walk in the fullness of it. So you should be excited to be alive on this earth. When you walk through heaven, you go down the paths of heaven, you start walking, and you decide where you want to go, the minute you decide you want to go somewhere, the path moves and takes you there. It wasn't moving before. Your desire causes it to move and to be. That happens a lot in your home. When you go in your home, if you do cook, they have gadgets up there. I don't even know what they are. Will do things I have no imagination that it can do. There's no outlets. There's no plugs. There's no fuel, no batteries. Those things operate because they're in heaven. The very life of God causes them to operate. So you use all these things in your mansion. You don't have to worry about anything breaking down. It's not ever going to do that. When you peel things to make a salad, the minute that cucumber peel leaves the cucumber, it evaporates. There's no trash. No garbage to take out. Nothing rots, decays, spoils anywhere. Any of your vehicles that you own in heaven, and you do get to own them, you never have to put fuel in them. You're not going to make payments on them. They're not going to get flat tires. You're not going to have a mechanic. Men like to hear me talk about all the things they won't have to maintain or repair. You get excited about the salons and eating and shopping. They get excited that they'll actually have a life because they won't be fixing everything and you won't be there to ask them to fix it. So they like different things than we do, but it's all there. Some of the mansions I saw were built in the sides of cliffs and waterfalls come right over them. They're like huge bubbles. And no matter where you are in your mansion, you can pass your hand over a dial and the entire mansion turns and rotates on its axis. And no matter where you are, you always have that view of this beautiful valley with the waterfalls. Some mansions are built up in the clouds. Have you ever seen the Jetsons cartoons? Those mansions look like that. They look like huge bubbles in the clouds you can see all over heaven. You go into a tube and you're sucked up, and whatever floor you want to be on, you say it, it stops there. When you go there, you can go all around your home and see heaven. They have landing pads outside for your little starship, and you don't need a driver's license, and you're not going to pay insurance, and you're never going to get a speeding ticket. They don't have cops in heaven. You have to really stretch your mind to think about things that are there. You can't reason it with your mortal mind. I tell people, take your mind and set it on a shelf and just open your spirit wide open for God to bless you and amaze you with what's there. One of the most amazing things I saw when I was there was the nurseries in heaven. The babies, the aborted babies, they have every single one of them. It's one of the most amazing stories I tell people. And I have had people get saved that live in the world that had abortions. They get saved. Do you know when they get to heaven? That baby they destroyed is restored and given back to them. They get a second chance to raise that child in heaven. Anyone who miscarried a baby, it's not lost. They live in one of the most beautiful places in heaven. And when you get there, you're going to get your baby. You did not miss that baby growing up. Guess what? It did not miss its destiny. Because your gift and callings are without repentance. Whatever those children were supposed to become, they will still be that. And because God loves you, that baby will grow so slowly that if you went to heaven 50 years later, 60 years later, it would still be little. And they'll be waiting on you to get there. They know who their parents are. They want their parents to make it to heaven. And even the aborted babies, they realize when that little spirit leaves that body, the angels carry it to heaven. Jesus is the first person to greet those little babies. He heals those wounds of their heart, and they fall in love with him. But the thing they want the most is for their parents to know they have forgiven them. They have a special ceremony before the throne of God. Those babies come. They forgive their parents for aborting them. They're not angry. They're not upset. They're in love with you. They want to be recognized as a member of your family because they came from you. They want to be named. If you had abortions or miscarriages, please name your child. When you name your baby, and if you don't know what it is, it's not that hard. Pick a boy name or a girl name. It has to be one or the other. People ask me that all the time. I didn't know what to name, and I didn't know what it was. I went, just pick one or the other, and it's going to be given whatever it was. Or, you know, there's names that can be either or. You can do that. Pick a name that could be boy or girl. Then you know it's going to get that name. When you name your baby, even if it's 30 years later, by the way, it has a name. The angels give it a nickname when it arrives. They're not a number. They're not just a dot somewhere shoved in a cube. They live in some of the most beautiful places in heaven. The nurseries in heaven are the beds of the babies are these beautiful seashells, and I'm talking about like mother of pearl, embellished with beautiful things on them. And they don't sleep. They don't have to. You don't sleep when you go there, and they don't either. You know what they do? They play. They play just like if they were down here, only they play and they're never going to get hurt. They're not going to get lost. They're not going to be scared. They're never going to be rejected or abused. They are loved by the Father. The angels take them and rock them, and when they sing to them, the breath of God nourishes that baby spirit. It is a beautiful place to be in. There's no ceilings in these nurseries. The birds fly in. They sing on the branches of the flowers that grow out of the wall all around these beautiful little baby beds. They have flowers growing. The birds come and sing to them. The birds take them for rides. The deers come in from the meadow. The angels line them up on the babies on the deer's back, and they go for rides in the meadow. They slide down real rainbows. And even if the baby is this big, because when they leave their little body, whatever size the body was, the spirit is that big. I've seen an angel hold 6 babies in his hand. They even have special places for them to go and play, just made for little tiny babies. One of the places he took me to, he called it the play pond. It wasn't much bigger than this pulpit area. And 50 babies were playing in it. They were riding on the turtles, floating on the lily pads. They all had beautiful little flower lays around their heads. Some of them were cockeyed because they'd been playing. They were splashing each other with the water. It was precious. It was one of the most beautiful places I ever saw. And there were no adults with them because they can't get hurt. They were swimming with the fishes, some of them. They already know how to do that stuff. They were all there on their own playing in this beautiful place. And the only way I could explain to you was if you saw like a painting of some fantastic little fantasy place. It was beautiful. The birds came and sang to them. Little animals came and played with them. They slid down the rainbow. The squirrels sliding down the rainbow. They weren't throwing nuts at them. The babies were probably throwing nuts at them. Because they were just being babies, what comes naturally to them. They were playing with each other. They were laughing. They were singing. And then all of a sudden, this whole bunch of dragonflies came in. And they were every brilliant color you can imagine. And they landed on the wrist of this little tiny baby. And that baby goes, "What did you say? What did you say?" And they were talking to them. "What did you say?" And they said, "We have to go back to the nursery. Jesus is coming to see us." And they got out of that pond as fast as they could get out of there. And some of them hopped into the pouches of kangaroos. Some of them climbed on the deer. Some of them climbed on the back of the birds. It was the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. All these precious animals were taking them back to the nursery so that they could meet with Jesus. And he has his way of communicating with every level of life in heaven. He didn't send some giant angel to come tramping in there and say, "It's time to come back." He sent something into them that they were accustomed to seeing. So he has his way of letting you know stuff in heaven, even if it's using dragonflies. So these babies hurried back to have this party with Jesus. They celebrate their birthday in heaven. They don't miss birthdays. They take them gifts. They celebrate their birthday. They are someone special to everyone. If they have relatives in heaven, they come and visit them. And if they grow big enough, they get to go home with grandparents, with great-grandparents, so they're not on their own. No child who ever goes to heaven is left on their own. They play all over heaven. They have people that watch over them. They're protected. But the thing they're waiting on the most is for you to get there. They want to see their mama. And even if they never got to experience you with life on this earth, they know that they belong to you. They're actually carried to the portal, and they can see you sometimes. They can see their siblings on earth. They're not made into a robot or somebody that just came and showed up with nowhere to go. They're treated like little princes and princesses. I had stories to tell you about women that got so healed from the abortions that they had, some of them 5 and 6 and 7 abortions. They would come and I would speak with them and share with them about heaven. They would repent, get saved, name their babies, and the joy of the Lord came over their life and they have never been the same again. When they find out that they get a second chance for what they had done, when they get a second chance to have those babies, and let me tell you, it does matter. No matter what they tell you in the media, they know that was life. No woman can carry life in her body and not know it's something that's living. You ask someone who's had one and got saved, they'll tell you they knew it. And they suffer the rest of their life with guilt. And even Christians, when they get saved, still suffer with guilt. I had one woman I ministered to, the enemy would let her hear babies crying at night. And he'd tell her, those are those babies you killed. And it would get worse, and she would suffer. She was in great depression. She would walk around. She still had children on this earth, and she had never told them about her abortions before she was saved. She came and saw me, and I tell you what, God opened heaven. And I actually could see the angel standing at the portal holding her 5 babies. I even knew what they were. She stood there and named her babies. And tears of joy poured down her. The glory of God. This was at a book signing in a bookstore. Because I don't care where I am. If God wants me to minister, I'm going to minister. That lady's life was changed forever. She showed back up at her church running up and down the aisles. And they knew something happened to her because she was filled with the joy of the Lord. She called her children and told them, you have 5 brothers and sisters living in heaven. And this is their names. And from this moment on, we will never say there's 3 of you. There's 8 of you. 3 here and 5 living in heaven. And I can tell you, they had a celebration in heaven with those babies. They take them before the throne of God. They officially present them with the name that their parents gave them. And they celebrate. And from that moment on, they don't call them by any other name. So you still have the ability to impact your child. I'm not telling you some weird story. I'm telling you the truth from the Father. You didn't miss being with your child. You still get to do that when you go to heaven. And even though you're not married, you'll share that child with the person that was your husband. If they make it to heaven, I pray they do. You'll live right near each other. You still get to do things together. You'll always know who was your child, who was your mother, who was your grandmother, your sister. He doesn't take that memory away from you. He knows how special you are to each other. And people who have had miscarriages get so blessed when they find out that their child, not only do they get their child, but they know that they're watching them, they can see them. They up there, they get excited every time they look down here and see you. They know that's their mom and that's their dad. They know that's their brother and their sister. But God's made a way for them to enjoy their life, and they'll never experience any of the things down here that some children do that should never experience it. And I'll just tell you this, since she mentioned special needs children, when they leave this earth, they are perfect and whole in every way. There are no handicapped people in heaven. You don't carry that up there with you that's left behind. Even people that live that way their whole life, the minute they come out of that body, perfect and whole in every way. enjoying a magnificent life in heaven. God is so wonderful. I knew a woman when she passed away. She was 96 years old. All her life she wanted to have children. I found this out after she passed away. It was someone that one of my sisters cared for because she couldn't stay in her home any longer. Her name was Mrs. Mack. She'd been married 5 times, outlived 5 husbands. And my sister would call every time something happened to her. They're taking her to the emergency room, and the Lord would say, it's not her time. I'd say, she's going to go home, and they'd send her home. And then the Lord would say, it's not her time because we're done with her mansion, but we're not done with her studio. And I went, she has a studio? What studio does she have? And he took me and showed me. Her studio was bigger than this church, and it had like 30 grand pianos in it. And then she had a beautiful one up on the platform. And I said, she's going to teach piano? Because at that time, I didn't know you still did that in heaven. He said, yeah, she's going to teach children piano. And then he showed me her mansion, and on the doorstep of her mansion was sitting this little girl, a little girl who looked about 4 years old, beautiful long red hair, a big bow in her hair, just beautiful, sitting there patiently waiting. I knew it was her child because no one else sits there like that. So when he brought me back to earth, I got a hold of my sister and I said, I have to ask you something. Do you know if she ever taught piano? And she said, her whole life she was a piano teacher. And her whole life, she wanted children and could never have them. But guess what? She had a surprise waiting on her when she got there. And I said, I saw a little girl. You ask her to make sure if she ever lost a child. So she went back and asked her, did you ever miscarry a child? She said, the first time I was married 80 years ago, I thought I might have been pregnant 80 years ago. I thought I might have been pregnant, but nothing ever happened. Well, guess what? She did. She was pregnant, and she lost that baby. But that baby is waiting for her in heaven. And when my sister told her, she told her everything I shared with her. This person knew what was waiting before she ever got there. Let me tell you, she wanted to go real quick. Especially when she found out she was going to be young again and not 96. And she was this little lady, stocky, short lady with grizzled hair. And all her life, she wanted to have beautiful hair, and her mother would never let her have long hair. She would cut it off every time it would start to grow. She wanted long hair and children. Well, guess what happened? The Lord allowed me to see her leave. She's in my book. She's the picture of the woman getting on the transport with the two angels that has long, beautiful hair. And she knew that little girl was waiting on her. She named her after my 2 sisters that took care of her. She named her Alicia May. So that little girl already had her name, and she was waiting on her. When it was her time to go, the Lord told me the day before she went, my sister said, I want to be able to say goodbye to her. And I said, the Lord's going to let you do that. She went in the next morning, kissed her, said she loved her. When she got ready to go to heaven, you know, just go and enjoy yourself, because my sister knew all about heaven. She told her a lot about heaven, but every time I'd share something about her home or her studio, let me tell you, she could not wait to get there. All her life, she wanted a grand piano and could never afford one. She got 31 grand pianos in her home. That was in her studio. Her mansion was much more fantastic than that. Your mansion is an extension of you, whatever your gifting is. If you're an artist, you have a mansion, a studio, and a gallery. All is part of your home. People come there to look at your beautiful artwork. You give it away. It didn't cost anything to make it. You don't need money. They don't have money in heaven because everything is given to you. But God has plans for you to be with your children. So if you've ever lost a child, no matter what age it is, it's going to be waiting on you when you get there. Isn't God fantastic? I'm going to talk a little bit about passionate power. I know some of you know what that is. It's something God designed to change your life and make it the way it was supposed to be as a married couple. Now, if your husband was here, they would really enjoy this message. It's not one that would depress them in any way whatsoever. The Lord gave me revelation on the scripture that The life of a husband and wife together was symbolic of Christ and his bride. And I won't get explicit. There are some young kids here, but you will get the message. When he said that your body belongs to your husband and his body belongs to you, there was a reason he said that. Because you empower each other. And if you are not loving each other, you are riding on empty. Because passion produces power in your life. Passion produces power, whether it comes from love or lust. That's why it sells. That's why the enemy uses it. It makes money. That's why people promote it. That's why Satan degraded love. But love, when given, that kind of passion releases power into yourself, each of you. You into your husband and him into you. And if you are not doing that, then things in your life are not going to be in order. When people get this and they actually start operating in it, their life can change. Because God always meant that to be between a husband and wife. Your life produces passion for that man. You hear the saying, behind every great man is a good woman. There's a reason why they say that. You can actually make your husband great by loving him. And I know some of you are looking at me like, and let me tell you, it's true. It is absolutely true. God asks us to come together as husband and wife. When we are one with Christ, when we have that intimate relationship with him, he empowers us with his love. We feel like we can conquer anything. When you walk in that passion and love the Lord gives you, and he loves his body, and they're actually operating the way they're supposed to, we will feel like we can conquer giants. But you're supposed to feel that way in your marriage. When you love each other the way God always designed it to be, not begrudging each other. It says don't come apart from each other for a time unless it's in agreement. And then don't prolong it so that you are not tempted. You are supposed to be empowering each other with that passion. And let me tell you what. He meant it when he told me. And he put it very simply to me. When the love goes out, the supply will come in. And if that love doesn't go out, the supply isn't going to come in. Because you're empowering your husband to be everything God created him to be. But if they aren't receiving that love, that physical love that they need, why do you think they want it? That is a natural thing God gave them, to love you. And I know we are made differently than them. But you know what? We're happy too. And you can't tell me you're not. Because I know you are. At one time in your life, you were. You should be able to live that. I have been married 32 years. Let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. Because my husband, I can come and tell him all the time all the amazing things I've done in heaven. And he'll say, could you get my dinner first? And my socks need washing. He is still very real with me. But even though I've been gone, guess what? It's time to pay up when I get home. I'm going to be real. This message is called Passionate Power. And it takes me about 3 hours to tell you the whole thing, so you're just going to get a little bit. The worst thing is this. He told my husband. He told my husband, if the love don't go out, the supply don't come in. So if I tell him, honey, I need a new outfit. I need this really bad. My car needs something new, and I think I need to go here. What do you think about that? And he goes, if the love don't go out, the supply doesn't come in. Are you ready to put out some love? I told the father, that just somehow is not right that you told my husband. He said, I'm going to make you you are a living prophetic example of what I'm doing in my body. So let me tell you all, if I have to do it, you have to do it. And let me tell you this, it works. It works. and it really works. And everybody's happy. And that supply comes in a lot. And that's what I meant. When I go home, I pay up because I'm behind. And let me tell you this. It doesn't matter how much I share, and if my meetings are 6 hours long and I prophesy over 500 people, if I didn't give him what I needed before I left, I'd get $50. If I don't take care of him first, I might as well not even come. I have to leave him happy. He's going to be without me for several days. And he looks forward to it when I come home. And the only substitute he has is fishing. So let me tell you, I know when I'm gone, my husband is not running around unless it's with a kingfish or a barracuda, the kind that swims in the water. And the only tail he sees wagging is in the water. Now it's getting interesting, isn't it? Are the men hiding? You need to hear the real thing. Because he is serious. We're in trouble. Marriages are dying everywhere. And nobody's happy. If God puts you together with a man as your husband, and you work it the way he told you to, he designed it to, you could live all of your life in joy and abundance. And he made me live it. And all I can tell you is, it's fun and it works. And I talked to my husband this morning, and he was real happy that I was coming home on Wednesday. And I can tell you, he ate fish every day I was gone. Because I don't like fish, and he made me marry a fisherman. I tell people I had fish ice and fish ice cream in my freezer for years, and I didn't buy it like that. It was from all of the stuff he caught and stuck in there. And his bait would stare at me, and when I opened the refrigerator to cook dinner, I lost my appetite before I started. The best present he ever bought me was a second refrigerator. It's in the garage, and it has his stuff in it when he gets it. But I'm telling you the truth. There is power in passion. You always wondered, why in the world did God create this? This is a lot of work for me. I have a lot of important things to do, and I'm tired. And I'm a woman, so you don't have to look at me. I know it's all true. But guess what? It don't matter. Because when you come together with your husband, God asks you to honor and respect him. He is told to love us. And let me tell you, if you will give him what he needs, he's going to give you what you need. And my man is an ex-Marine. He's not necessarily a gentle, finessed person. I have tried my best to rub all the rough edges off of that man. He still puts his shorts on the bed knob on the bed after 32 years. He will take his ball caps and put them on the top of my best lamps when company's coming. Those are his lamps, and if he wants to set his hat there, he's going to set it there. I still, every night, move his work boots out of the middle of the living room because I don't like that aroma. When he shaves, he still leaves a stubble all over my sink. He has his own. Use that one. And stop stealing my towel. They're softer. But I learned something from the Father. He had a reason that he designed that plan for us. We benefit from it. They're happy. We benefit. So if you're lacking in your life, all I can tell you is look at your love life. You need to check it out and check it up and see what's going on. And if you want something new, you know how to get it. My sister who lives with me, who's single, is sitting here wanting to crawl under the pew. And I never give this message when my daughters are present. But one, you know what? They need to hear this message too. Two of them are married. But you know what? They're young. I don't think they have this problem. I don't think they have this problem. But when you start to reach a certain age where you're just too tired, you got to get over those headaches and stop being tired. Something miraculous starts to happen to you when you start loving your husband. He'll actually renew that same passion you had before. Because not only does that passion empower him, it will empower you. It will make you feel young again, and you will go around grinning all day. Just like you did years ago. Because you know what? They could be 80 and they ain't gonna change. You could be half dead and they're still not gonna change. Because God designed men that way. That's what's so wrong with homosexuality. It isn't just a sin of what they're committing. It's that there's nothing going to be created. And if the world was made like that, let me ask you this. Where would they come from? They wouldn't even be here. If that was supposed to be a natural thing, there wouldn't be any of us here. There'd be no people. Because they can't do that. Only we can. So they need to think about that. By the way, there's about to be a mass revival in that whole group of people. Millions of them are about to get saved. Well, I'm going to tell you about something about this day and season being different from before. The ones who had the operations, guess what's going to grow back? He isn't just going to restore their purity. He's restoring their body. So when they get saved, when this move of God comes on this earth and miracles happen, when he said creative miracles, he meant that too. Because they will fall in love with Jesus and they won't be that person anymore. And yet they were left with something that they did to themselves as a reminder every day, God's not going to let it stay that way. Because I was told when I was in heaven that they were about to empty the body parts warehouse. Because they have one. And there's a lot of body parts left up there. But in this move of God will be some of the most massive miracles and healings this earth has ever seen. Those are some of the people, when they get saved, that will have miraculous things happen to them instantly. And if they were supposed to be a he and not a she, they'll be a he again, and she'll be a she again. That's what God meant when he said he will do greater things than were done before. Things you never imagined are going to happen. And even if you're not practicing his principle of passion produces power, when that fire comes from heaven that everybody cries out for, it's passion. Our God is a consuming fire. That fire is passion. And when it hits you, you're going to fall in love all over again. And I can tell you why, because he let me sample some of it. And my husband thought it was heaven on earth for 7 days. He put one little drop on me one time, and man, I fell in love with everything that moved and breathed. I loved everybody, but I really loved my husband. And he said, I don't know what this is, but I want more of it. I'm being serious. Passion produces power, whether it's love or lust. But God's love that he gave us for our spouses, that passion produces power. It sets them free. It makes them feel strong and mighty. loved and honored, special. But when people practice passion through lust, they are enslaved. They are broken. They are crushed. They lose all of their value and their worth. Because lust will enslave you, love will empower you. And what we need is more love in our marriages. So don't ever forget this message. And just remember what he told me. If the love goes out, the supply comes in. And I didn't have to guess about what he meant when he said that. And if you're here and you're not married, just get ready when you get married. You remember this message. And you'll never be broke. I can only tell you it works. They say you can't have formulas for things from God. Yes, you can. That's a formula. Love plus love equals everything you ever dreamed of. I just rhyme. When you start loving each other the way he wanted you to, and stop mistreating each other and talking bad about each other, gossiping about each other, strongholds will be broken off of your marriage, your health, your finances. It will be absolutely amazing what starts to happen in your life. And besides that, you're going to be happy because you're loving each other. When we get to heaven one day and we have that heavenly wedding with our bridegroom, you actually, at one time in heaven, your spirits can actually go inside of each other. You can't be any more one than that. And that's a revelation on the scripture that the coming together of a man and wife is symbolic of Christ and his church. When he said, Father, I pray that they are one as we are one, I'm going to tell you what that means in heaven. And he takes me and shows me because he knows I have to think real hard if he tries describing. So he'll show me things so I get it right away. So one day he said, I'm going to give you a revelation on the Trinity and what we meant when my son prayed, Father, I pray that they are one as we are one. He wasn't talking about the whole group becoming one, although we are going to become the body. He meant us with them. When I was standing before the throne, the Father was there in all of his glory. Jesus sits in his Father's throne. He doesn't have his separate throne. The word says he sits at the right hand of the Father in his throne. He's right here on the right side of the Father. The Holy Spirit's presence is on the left side of the throne. And even though he's invisible, you know he's there. Do you feel him in your life? Yes, you feel his presence in a room. When the glory of God comes in, you feel his presence right there and you know he's there. Well, the Jesus gets up off the throne and turns around and steps inside the Father and totally disappears. He stepped right in him. The Holy Spirit came around and stepped inside the Father. They were three in one. Three separate beings in one place. You can't be any more one than that. And yet they're totally separate individual beings. When you get to heaven, you will have the ability to do that. Step inside the Father God and not just wonder what his heart looks like. You can be in it, engulfed by his passion and his love. When you go to heaven and you meet the Lord, he will come and step on the inside of you. Turn around and look out of your eyes. And you will burn with passion for anyone who's there. You will experience the same exact love that Christ had when he went on the cross for you. You will never again look at people the same way. You can't, because you become one with the Lord. You'll feel his heart. You'll experience his love and his passion for everyone else. That's how he feels about everybody right now. And until that moment, you'll never know how he could have gone and died for wicked, evil people. At that moment in your life, you will understand. Because you will feel and experience that same passion. Isn't God fantastic?